Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how is your resume? How is your resume doing? Look at Paul's resume today. What a righteous person he was, right? Look at that. He tells us everything that he did. He was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church of the way. Actually, at that time, Paul thought he was doing what God wanted him to do, to persecute those people who believed in Jesus, who followed the way. As to righteousness, under the law, blameless. What a resume. He was doing great, he thought. He was doing everything he was supposed to do. He was there when they stoned Stephen to death, and he gave approval to that. He was a student of Gamaliel, one of the biggest, highest-ranking rabbis there was. He was a prime student of Gamaliel. Paul had it all, he thought. How's your resume? What did you bring to God when you became a Christian? I'll tell you something about Paul. He doesn't want to look at what was behind him, because our English translations are so nice. He considered it all rubbish. Rubbish. When you think of rubbish, what do you think? Trash, everything like that. Actually, the Greek word here means something new, more stinky than rubbish. Have you ever heard of a cow patty? Yes. Yeah, dung. Blech. He considered all that things he did before to be rubbish. He was not looking in the right direction. I talked to the kids about running a race. I remember a few years ago, two Winter Olympics ago, there was this one girl, her last name was Jacoby or something like that, I'm not exactly familiar, and she was on the snowboards, I think, and she was on the one where you'd go over ramps and curves and things like that, and she was way in the lead, and so she turned around and she saw what a great lead she had. So she decided to get a little extravagant, fancy. And she decided to do on the last jump to get the gold medal. All she had to do was keep going and win the race. She decided to throw in a loop in her jump. And guess what happened? She crashed. Down on the ground. Bye-bye, gold medal. I don't remember if she won the silver or the bronze, but she lost the gold medal because she took her eyes off the prize and just thought, ooh, I'm special. Yes? Yeah, and Peter took his eyes off Jesus. That's right. Peter took his eyes off Jesus, and he started to drown. And so, Bass Olympics, guess what she did? She didn't throw in any unnecessary jumps or loops or anything like that. She kept straight and her eye on the prize, and she won. And that's what Paul's telling us to do, because each and every one of us, no matter how great of Christians we've been, if we've been Christians from baptized as an infant, raised in the church, confirmed, done everything right, there's still a lot of cow patties in our life behind us. And there's a lot of stuff that we wish we never would have done, but we did. And it doesn't matter if we've been a Christian since birth, or maybe we were the thief on the cross with Jesus and came to faith in him right then at the very end. It doesn't matter. Because all that rubbish in our past, we said, God, please forgive us of our sins. God says they're forgiven. So don't look back and dwell on, oh man, I can't believe I did that. It's good to go, okay, I need to make sure I don't do that again. I need to ask the Holy Spirit to lead me not to do that again. But don't look at our cow patties in the past and dwell on them and go, I hope that that does not keep me from heaven. I had a girl one time tell me, a lady, as the best man at a wedding, she was a bridesmaid. And she goes, I don't think God can forgive me for some of the things that I've done in my past. It's like, sure he can. He can forgive anybody. He can forgive anything. He could forgive Paul for being a persecutor of the church. He could forgive David for being a murderer. He could forgive all of our sins, no matter how bad our cow patties were in the past, our rubbish was. God can forgive us. Our goal is to keep our eyes on the prize. And we can't do that by ourselves. We try to do it by ourselves, we're going to be tripping and falling. But if we ask God to lead us and to guide us, we'll be able to keep our eyes on the prize. We've had two memorial services, funerals, celebrations of life, however you want to call them, here recently. Eldon Harris and Carol Dierker. And both of them, from what I've heard from everybody, they have strong faith, kept their eyes on the prize, and they have received the crown of eternal life. And that's what our goal is, to receive the crown of eternal life. Again, we can't do it ourselves. We need help. And the help comes from God. For his sake, Paul writes, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as cow patties, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. How many of you have alarm clocks? How many of you depend on your alarm clocks? Very much so. Paul had a major alarm clock go off. He was traveling to Damascus. Why was he going to Damascus? To arrest and persecute those who believed in Christ. And on the way to Damascus, a big alarm clock went off. Blinding light. Knocked him down to the ground. Paul! Paul! And actually, his name at that time was Saul. Saul! Who are you? Why are you persecuting me? Boom, big alarm clock went off in Paul's head. It was Jesus speaking to him, saying, quit doing the what you're doing, Ananias will find you and will help guide you in the way, the correct way, set you on the correct path. Alarm clocks. I had a job one time where I was supposed to get up early in the morning and get to work early in the morning. I wasn't doing very good at it. Didn't matter if I set the alarm clock on the other side of the room, I would just get out of bed, turn it off, and go back, or I would sleep through it. So I ended up getting one of those old-fashioned telephones, the kind that you had to put your finger in the holes and dial like this, because they rang really loud. And I would have someone call me to wake me up in the morning to help get me up. And I got to where I would just answer the phone, yeah, I am up, put it back down. I no longer have that job. I had a plan. I knew exactly. They said, if you're late four times in the next year, you're out of here. Well, I had a plan. I could be late three times. I lasted maybe 6 months. And they said, you're out of here. That was my big wake-up call. You know, it said, you got to quit doing that. So now I get up to my alarm really easily. We've each received an alarm clock, an alarm from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, telling us to believe in Jesus and go the way he does, so that we might follow on the path that he set before us and for us. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ had made me his own. We're working toward becoming perfect, but we will not receive perfection in this life. We will receive perfection when either we die in the Lord or when Jesus returns before we die to take us home. As long as we stay in the faith. So we are being made perfect, but we're not there yet. But we keep our eyes on Christ, and we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Again, it doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian, how many good works we've done, because if we think we've done good works, and we're like, hey, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. Uh-oh. Those aren't good works. Good works are what we do for the glory of God and for the benefit of our neighbor. And we think we've done something good. We're trying to make ourselves look better. We haven't. But if God has led us to do the works that he has laid before us to do, and we say, thank you, God, for leading me to help somebody, or for leading me to believe in Jesus, or for leading me to do this for the benefit of our neighbors, then we've done good. If we help the lady across the street or the gentleman across the street who needs help, and we go, hey, look what we've done, you ain't done nothing but get yourself in trouble. But if we tell them when they thank us, give the glory to God. He led me to do this. We are doing a good work in God's sight. And we press on toward the goal so that we can receive the prize that Eldon has just received, that Carol has just received. While we're doing so, God leads us to tell others about what Jesus has done for them. He leads us to help others, giving him the glory. He leads us to keep our eyes on Jesus so that we don't trip while in the race, we don't crash our bicycle, or we don't, while walking on water, take our eyes off Jesus and drown, because he lifts us all up and gives us the faith to believe in what he has done. So while we're running the race that God has put us on, let us keep our eyes on the prize, on Jesus Christ and eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen.